we present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a headline from the BBC News website, read by Peter Donaldson.
Copper stolen from police station.
And our thanks to Duncan Smart for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Francis Ween and Jeremy Hardy. And opposite them on my left, Mark Steele and Andy Hamilton. Francis, who's dreaming of a Clegg-up?
Oh, dear. Would it be Nick Clegg?
Yes, bless.
Bless. Well, it was his big week in Bournemouth, his conference. He made a very odd speech. He said, I want to be Prime Minister. I've always wanted to be Prime Minister. You thought, well, if you always wanted to be Prime Minister, why did you join the Liberal Democrats?
You'd have to feel sorry for the small parties, though, because people always say, well, it's all very well. I mean, the Liberals have got great policies, but they're never going to get a chance to put them in. Or, well, I would vote for the Greens, except they're never going to get in. Or, well, I would vote BNP, but I'm not mental.
But he said, just imagine sitting around the cabinet table, the cabinet of all the talents, me, Vince Cable, Lembit Opik.
You say the Lib Dems are carrying the torch of progress. I thought, oh, that'll be handy, because you're going up a blind alley, so...
He'd be funny, though, wouldn't he, as a Prime Minister or Deputy Prime or Chancellor or something, Lembit Opik, wouldn't he?
Yeah, it'd be good, because he's terrified of meteoroids, isn't he?
Really?
That's his big thing. He thinks that Britain needs to target our nuclear weapons against meteoroids.
Or asteroids.
Is it asteroids? Which asteroids, is the one? Yeah. Hemorrhoids, that's it.
Yeah. I did develop a fear like that. I'm always curious. I had a friend of mine who was frightened of whales. I mean, not the country. Not in an Anne Robinson sort of way, but, the creatures like the one that washed up on Bournemouth Beach. And I thought, when is this ever going to come up in your life? And then one day we went to the Natural History Museum together and the woman completely fell apart.
Bit cruel of you to take them in there, though, wasn't it?
I was just checking. Well, this is the Lib Dem conference in Bournemouth, which ended with Nick Clegg announcing he wanted to be Prime Minister. So sweet. America might have a black president, but there are things that are never going to happen. Mark, who outstayed their welcome even though there was no room at any inn?
Gaddafi.
Yeah, Mr. Gaddafi.
Gaddafi.
Oh, Colonel, right. Gaddafi. He runs a country called Libya.
Mm. It's. No, it's been in the news.
He screwed up the charter, didn't
That's
he?
That's the one.
It is quite cool that he stays in a tent when he goes to do's, though, isn't he?
Yeah,
he just treats the world like Glastonbury, doesn't he?
But does he stay in it? Because there's a rumour, isn't it, that he gets them to put up a Bedouin tent, so he looks street cred,
like
and then
celebrity,
he's down the hill.
In the hotel every day.
Oh, like all the rumours about the people in the I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Jeremy just said that, Mark. Jeremy just said that, and then you said it after Jeremy.
That's all right, we're all getting elderly. I couldn't hear what Jeremy said.
This is Radio 4, Andy. We have to say everything twice.
Let's just listen again, that's all.
Yeah.
I now get deja vu and amnesia at the same time. I do. I think to myself, I'm sure I've forgotten this once before.
But Gaddafi's speech was, I mean, he did 90 minutes with no interval. That's a good set, isn't it? I mean, and there's some very funny stuff in it. He said that he wants the UN to investigate the assassination of John F. Kennedy, because his theory is that the Israelis assassinated John F. Kennedy because John F. Kennedy was investigating the Israeli nuclear program. He then went on to say that he thought the UN should also investigate the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Now, I know Mossad are pretty ruthless.
Yeah. It was a fantastic list, wasn't it? Because the other thing was that there was the JFK killers haven't been brought to justice. There was swine flu is actually a man-made virus developed by the military who are now developing fish flu, which I'm very pleased with. And that Obama should be president forever. Honest to goodness, it has sounded as though he'd taken the entire speech from Monday's Daily Express. It was just...
True story. He years ago in the 70s, he asked the Libyan embassy in London to send him a box of books every month. And one month they included a Barbara Cartland novel, because in those days she had a new novel out every week. And the message came back from Tripoli saying, can we have some more of those Barbara Cartlands, please? And so for the next 20 years, he was sent a Barbara Cartland novel every month from Foyles.
Oh, no wonder she sold so many.
You could hear her influence in his speech as well. My heart is pounding with excitement as I reach for my speech.
Well, wait, this was not for broadcast, but just my own personal interest. There was a story that I didn't understand today, which said somebody has invented underpants for men who are left-handed. Now, it's not my specialist area, but what... have left-handed men been having a fearsome time and suffering wrist injuries until this...
Can you explain it to me? I'm left-handed, and I'm trying to work out what the advantage would be of left-handed underpants.
Yeah.
You're only meant to use one hand when you pull it. If it's so, I've been doing it wrong all my life.
Some of us need more than one hand to get it out, Sandy.
It's just that my son's left-handed, and I got him the scissors, but the pants hadn't occurred to me. That's all I'm saying. Is it the opening?
Don't raise this with your son. A teenage boy does not need his mother to start asking him. Darling, how do you take it out of your pants? Mum! No, but on boxer shorts, you've got a central kind of vent with a slight overlap. You're supposed to button it up, but who does?
Yeah, so that's a sort of pretty ambidextrous sort of affair. Mm.
To be honest, these days, my flies are usually undone because most of the time I'm indoors, because I haven't got a job, obviously. So most of the time I'm indoors on my own. And I go to the lavatory and I think, well, I could do my flies up, but realistically, what's the likelihood of me bumping into somebody before I have to go again? Save a lot of time and effort and just be prepared.
It's brilliant that you've employed a whole time and motions mechanism.
I was once touring with a very serious play. It was years and years ago. I was touring with a very serious play. And we were at a theatre that we had not been to before. And the young man who's playing the lead, we'd been sitting in the bar. And it was sort of nearly time for us to go backstage and get ready. And the audience was starting to come in. And he was desperate to go to the lavatory. And I didn't realise a lot of boys, they prepare themselves as they're opening the door into the facility. I didn't know this. Anyway, he was prepared himself. He took himself out and ready and stepped straight into the foyer.
We've all used that excuse so now, if we can just find a news story about underpants, they can keep all that in the edit.
I know. My apologies. The story was all
about...
There
was a news story about underpants. Is that coming up? Boris Yeltsin, Bill Clinton, rather belatedly, has revealed that in 1995, I think it was, Yeltsin was on a trip to Washington, and he was staying just opposite the White House, and he was found late at night, a few hundred yards from the White House, on the street, wearing nothing but his underpants, very, very drunk, and tried to hail a cab so he could go and get himself a pizza.
I miss Yeltsin. Don't you miss Yeltsin?
Yeltsin was good luck.
He was a class act, wasn't he? Bring him back. Where is he now?
Dead.
Oh, right.
It was 2 points to Mark. Unperturbed by the refusal of pretty much everyone in New York to house him, Libyan leader Colonel Gaddafi made a 96-minute speech to the UN on Wednesday, just slightly overstepping the 15-minute time limit. The Telegraph reported that halfway through Gaddafi's speech, the exhausted Arabic translator had to be relieved by a colleague.
Because he was left-handed and he couldn't get it out himself.
Certainly one way to deal with tiredness, right. At the end of round one, the scores are Francis and Jeremy have got 4 points, but so too have Mark and Andy. We start round two with a cutting from The Times.
Spanish councillors have introduced fines for having sex on the beach, provoking a nighttime demonstration by locals.
To David Wilson from Chichester for sending us that. Francis, what perk puts a Burke off his work?
It's Terence Keeley.
Yes.
The Vice Chancellor of the University of Buckingham, who has got himself into a tiny spot of trouble by writing a supposedly light-hearted article, I think, in the Times Education Supplement, saying it's marvellous being a male university lecturer because there are all these girls. Rather pretty little things, some of them, and flaunting their curves, I think was how he described it. And he said they're one of the perks of the job. And at this time of year, in Freshers' Week, you can feel a little fresher every day.
He said, oh, about them flaunting their curves, which just means having a visible body, being a corporate entity, corporeal, I should say, not corporate, that would mean, you know, shareholders. But...
But he said, and sometimes these girls will ask you for help with their essay. What to do? Help them with their essay.
It was terribly creepy, the stuff he said as well, because there was one bit where he said, you know, there's a girl smiling at you, just enjoy it, and they can go home and have sex with your wife. Sort of.
I don't think
creepy.
He'll be having sex with his wife for a while now.
Two, one.
The lecturers that we had at Cambridge, I can't believe they'd have been interested. When I was at university, Gondel and Keyes, one of the all-male colleges, were voting as to whether or not they would accept women. And they decided that they would, but they wouldn't do it for 10 years because they needed to build up their white wine cellar. The Vice-Chancellor of the University of Buckingham said that curvy female students are a perk of the job of being a lecturer. The Times claimed Dr. Keeley's article was an attempt to spice up its supplement. The article was printed in the New Edition's page 3 editorial, which is placed just below a photograph of Chantel, 21, from Romford, showing us her cracking pair of twin diplomas. 2 points to Francis. Jeremy, who has complained that the C of E is too M&S?
I was interested in this because I was raised in the Church of England. I can't say I'm lapsed. You can't really lapse if you're an Anglican. You don't lose your faith. You just can't remember where you left it. But it always has been seen as a sort of conservative, middle-class institution. And a bishop has said he'd like to think that if Jesus were around on the earth, that he could be seen in the queue at Aldi and Asda.
Well, I think he's right. He would shop at Aldi or something.
Yeah, of course he would.
Because Jesus saves.
Asda actually said that they've got in-store chaplains.
Really?
They said, we've got chaplains walking round the aisle and for staff. Or I've never seen this. I have been in Asda.
Well,
they're
seen... plainclothes chaplains, I think. They lurk in the aisles.
Oh, spotting sin.
Yeah. It says if you're near death through some hideous spillage in aisle 14... Get the cleaner. Oh, no, it's worse than we thought. Get the chaplain.
Chaplain Why number four, gonna... please.
If you'd bought...
Check out number three, parable with no ending.
On Friday, the Bishop of Exeter is going to greet commuters. He wants to shed the middle-class image of the church. He's going to greet commuters with fair trade chocolate bars and a free diocese magazine. You think, oh, yes, nothing says working class like a man in sandals handing out fair trade chocolate bars.
Bishop of Exeter, you say?
Yes, apparently.
That's
so.
Another limerick, isn't it?
It does sound like
a young lady Bishop of Exeter. So pretty young men craned their necks at her. And one went so far as to wave from his car the distinguishing mark of his sex at her.
Bishop of Reading.
That's from the Book of Psalms, isn't it?
The Bishop of Reading has said that the Church of England should shed its Marks and Spencer's image and become more like... Is it Aldi or Aldi?
Aldi.
Aldi. Never heard of it.
I expect the staff go there, Sandy.
They should stick with M&S. Can't you see the ad? This isn't just Christianity. Mark, have a listen to this.
Moon River, wider than a mile, I'm crossing you in style someday.
Australia, we've met Australia.
Mm. That was Frank Sinatra, wasn't it? Normally you'd expect to be Andy Williams doing Moon River, but I'm sure that was Sinatra.
God, it is like being in a home. Properly.
Andy Williams is coming to visit.
Mark, why is a small step for man a giant leap for swimming pool manufacturers?
Oh, no.
Do you know this?
To be honest, me and Mark only came in here for a sit down.
That's where in a few years it will be.
Where was there a small step for man? Where was that?
On the moon.
Moon, and swimming pools have got what in them?
Oh, water, yes. Hey. They found this water. That is... don't patronise me.
I'm going to. You're only getting 1 point. There we are.
Imagine that. Imagine if I really was 83 and I went, oh, I know what that big thing is. It's the moon. And everyone in the home went, good. They're fairly certain that there is water that is on the moon, and it's more than was hitherto believed to have been possible. And so now spacemen might be able to go pop in to the moon, Oasis style, if you like, on their way to Venus or something.
Well...
Not much. I mean,
what have been in it? Swimming in it.
What?
This Indian spaceship that landed there found gallons of the stuff. Chock-a-block and ice as well.
Well, how
maybe the Americans didn't really go there.
But, I mean, I don't understand it. If the Indians found water, what were the Americans looking for? Elvis? I mean, it's just...
Oil.
I didn't think it was swimming in it, Francis. I thought they said the moon was damp, which is not very inspiring. Like so many places I've lived in.
Moist.
Damp.
Oh, that'll encourage the English to have a space mission up there so they can go there and go, oh, isn't it dreadful? Oh, dear, not only is it drizzling, but the gravity is just keeping all the moisture all just floating.
We're looking for a planet that's very mild for the time of year, aren't we?
Did you see that this week the first drinking fountain in Britain was opened in... It was opened in Hyde Park after 30 years. But that's marvellous. Why don't we just have those instead of all that bottled water? I think that's a really good idea.
There's loads of drinking fountains. Yeah.
No, the first new one.
No, you're not supposed to drink from the Diana Memorial. You know.
My wife... It's what she would have wanted.
My wife Libby came out with one of the blackest jokes I've ever heard. There was just after the Diana Memorial, it was opened, it was closed again because lots of children were getting injured. And my wife said, well... She always had a soft spot for injured children.
I do find all that bottled water very confusing. This doesn't reflect well on me, this story. I was in a very smart hotel in London, and I was trying to order, and I said to the man, a very nice waiter, and I said, please could I have some fizzy water? And he said, fizzy water. And I said, yes, fizzy water. Fizzy water. And I thought, oh, there's some horrible misunderstanding now with somebody from another country, and I just need to get... I said, yes, that'd be lovely. Thank you very much, thinking he couldn't say fizzy, and he came back with water from Fiji.
He must have gone miles, a poor bloke.
I know.
I was in a cafe in Bolton, where my dear lady resides, and
you're
there
posh,
was
Mark.
And so I was sort of sitting there reading the papers, and I had a bit of soup, and the bloke brought me some soup, and I said, "Oh, I'll tell you what, have you got a bit of? Give some pepper. You got any pepper?" Carried on reading the paper, and you know that sort of feeling when a long time's longer than what is right has sort of passed, and then you think, "Hang on, what's happened to that?" And I said, pepper? Right. Another 2 or 3 minutes went by, and I said, have you got any pepper at all? And he said, oh, to be honest, I'm a bit confused. Do you want some pepper to write on or newspaper? Honestly, that is honestly true.
See, there are our two lives in a nutshell. There's me. Ordering
Fijian chap went to Fiji.
I'm ordering Fijian water in a smart London hotel, and you're having trouble with condiments in a cafe in Bolton. Anyway, the story was about Indian space probe. How do you say that, Peter? Chandrayaan.
Chandrayaan.
That like that. Indian space probe Chandrayaan 1 has proved that there is water on the surface of the moon. If the moon is damp, then there is a chance it may support basic life forms, something scientists call the Lowestoft effect. Well, I can tell you, at the end of round two, the scores are Mark and Andy have got 7 points, but Francis and Jeremy are in the lead with 8. Before we start round three, here is a quote from an interview with Daniel Radcliffe.
I go to Japan and they all scream and it goes mad. But that's a different type of me. The me that sits in a darkened room for 8 hours a day, watching cricket, with a big bowl of pasta in my socks and my underwear, is not nearly so appealing to women.
Francis, who's imagined an affair they'd like to remember?
Is it Valéry Giscard d'Estaing?
It is Mr. d'Estaing.
So worthy of Colonel Gaddafi, isn't it, this? He, former President Giscard d'Estaing, I was amazed to find he's still alive, has published a bodice ripper about him having an affair with Princess Diana, except she's heavily disguised.
She's called the Princess of Cardiff.
But she is actually called Patricia. I think she's called Princess Lady Pat.
Princess Pat.
And her black and white cat.
Early in the morning. And he wrote this book, and there was great speculation in France as to whether Giscard d'Estaing actually did have an affair with Princess Di. But he's now come out and said, no, it's just that one of her last wishes before she died, she said to me, Giscard, if anything ever happens to me, would you please write a romantic novel about me having an affair with you?
Do you not think Princess Pat sounds like the name Postman Pat uses at weekends? Oh, just need to relax.
Evenings, when his wife catches him. Just trying your clothes on, darling. But also, the pathetic thing was he put a little dedication, didn't he, at the front. Promise kept. And people interpreted that as a promise to Princess Diana, but it's probably a promise to his publisher to get lots of cheap publicity, isn't it?
But I love the French. I love that a leader would want to write a bodice ripper. I think we can imagine Gordon Brown deciding to write something. Giles stroked her spreadsheets and congratulated her on the long-term viability of her fiscal policies.
That's quantitative easing. That's what you're getting Gordon Brown.
Ooh. 83-year-old former French President Valéry Giscard d'Estaing is about to publish The Princess and the President, a royal bonkbuster whose hero and heroine bear more than a passing resemblance to himself and the late Princess Diana. Apparently, the book often reflects many similar factual elements to Diana's life, up until the point where the princess is killed in a car crash orchestrated by the Secret Service and her father-in-law. 2 points to Francis. Andy, where will pointless pursuits no longer be taken for granted?
Oh, they're going to clamp down on this great sort of bête noire of newspapers. The subjects like David Beckham studies and custardology. And I made that one up. I don't want the Daily Mail. Get this custardology. Quick, do an article.
Is there David Beckham studies?
Yes.
What do you study? How stupid people kick balls. What is it? What?
I don't know. I didn't read the syllabus closely enough, Sandy.
But they're going to cut funding to all these reports, which means we will abandon round three of the news quiz.
Yes! Because
without all these things that say that hedgehogs discovered America and that watermelons are really insects, we're going to be stuffed for the last round of questions, aren't we?
Well, actually, there was research by a team at Nottingham Trent University, and they found that 84% of episodes of the news quiz ended in a story about research from Nottingham Trent University.
No, if they clamp down on mindless trivia, we're done for.
Yeah.
We're finished.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's they're going to withdraw funding. I'm trying to think of the other examples. There was David Beckham studies.
Tarzan and Jane studies.
Tarzan and Jane, that's right.
Maths.
Studies.
What is a Tarzan and Jane study?
You do projects on gender politics in the Tarzan and Jane relationship.
Mm. Right.
Straightforward. I don't think there's much depth and complexity to that gender relationship, is there? Really?
Oh,
I don't know.
I think there's a lot of complexity.
Depends
in Tarzan.
Tarzan.
I mean, you know, does Tarzan need Jane more than Jane needs Tarzan? That's what you got to ask yourself.
Have you got a degree in this?
Well, this is the disastrous news for our final round, that the government plans to stop funding pointless university research. Since when has anything you learned at university had real relevance to the wider world? Honestly, the only thing I learned at university was how to stay upright after 15 gin and tonics. And then I learned... No, that was it, in fact. That was everything. Academics have to prove that their work has some relevance to the real world. The real world being that place most academics haven't been to since that time they accidentally wandered into town and had a panic attack in Dixon's. 2 points to Andy. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Mr. Ween.
Sandy, this is from London Light. It's a story about a Roman remain. It adorned the table of a wealthy merchant 17 centuries ago. Now a glass dish, the first of its kind to be excavated in Western Europe, is giving a fresh insight into the life of Roman London. Experts believe it was the prized possession of a Roman merchant or administrator, a member of the upper classes, of the kind served by Frankie Howard in Up Pompeii. Wait! Whose cremated remains were uncovered beside it.
Mr. Hardy.
Is this an old Alan Corran one? Right, and I'm indebted to the Penge, Clarion and Argus. This was sent in by Mrs. Muammar Gaddafi from Tripoli on Sea. Due to roadworks, these toilets are not operational. Please use the pavement on the other side.
Mr. Steele.
Well, this was sent in by Mr. Michael Hammerson, but I'm not actually even going to read it out. I'll just read you what he's put. I send a news cutting, which is not exactly current, in the hope that you might like to consider including it, as it seems right up your street. The cutting comes from an issue of the Little Rock Arkansas Gazette in 1925. And it goes, that's not going to be as funny as the fact that it's 1925, is it? Much improvement was shown in the condition of Diamond Joe Sullivan today, according to a physician's report, and his complete recovery is believed assured. When attendants report him completely out of danger, Governor McRae is expected to fix the day of his execution. Not bad for 1925, I suppose.
Mr. Hamilton.
This is from Darren Collings. It's from the London Light, and it's possibly one of the darkest cuttings we've had. W.H. Smith apologised today for promoting a book on Joseph Fritzl as a Father's Day gift.
Score. Mark and Andy have got 9 points, but this week's runaway winners are Francis and Jeremy with 14. And before we leave you, here's a sign spotted on a door at the Brighton and Sussex Medical School.
You must use your NHS Trust badge to get access to this area. Alternatively, you can access this area by walking round the other way.
Goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Francis Sween, Jeremy Hardy, Mark Steele and Andy Hamilton. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news is read by me, Peter Donaldson. The chair's script is written by Lucy Clark, Roderick Crooks and James Sherwood, with additional material by Dominic Philpott, John Luke Roberts and Gareth Wynne. The producer was Victoria Lloyd.